Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network.
Hey everybody, welcome. It is episode 79 of Drunken Lullabies. It's June. It's getting warm. It's no longer sweater weather. It's now like sweat your ass off weather in central Illinois. It's hot. It's humid. We're wearing short shorts in the studio here today.
Yeah. I'm wearing a Speedo.
I got my thong on.
We're gonna go for a dip in the pool afterwards, I think.
Yes.
Well, we are here at IBWIP Studios for a fantastic episode of Drunken Lullabies, as you come to expect every week here on the FCF Network. Joining me are some returning guests. Two you've heard fairly recently. One, it has been a while. All right. Well, joining me to my right, he was recently my co-host on episode, I believe, like 75, 76.
Yep.
At the Social Kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Home again.
Yeah.
Bottle Cap Kid, how you doing?
Hey, friends. Doing so well. Always glad to be here on Drunken Lullabies, even if we recorded this episode already.
Oh, we'll get into that. All right, to my left, we have the podcasting god himself, Mr. Blake Clayton.
How is everyone doing? Thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me in your basement.
Hey, thanks for not punching my lights out when I texted you and said, hey, I deleted those files.
It's all right. We'll get into that in a bit. And across from me, hasn't been on, let's see, what did we say last time?
About episode 60.
60. Okay, wow. So yeah, almost 20 episodes later, we're having Big E back in the house.
Yeah.
It's a new day.
Not to be confused with the black guy from the WWE.
Oh!
No, okay.
There's a guy named Big E in the WWE?
Yeah. He used to be Big E Langston, but now he's just Big E. And he likes to spank things.
Yes, he does.
I'm really missing out.
Yeah. All right, well, our episode today is brought to you by Distill Brewery and founded in Bloomington, Illinois. Distill Brewery has been boycotting Bland since 2013. Their hard work and craftsmanship has led to a wide array of beers that are anything but bland. From their Wild Sour line to the barrel-aged St. Dakara series, Distill's award-winning beers include something for everyone. With options like Weisenheimer, Vertex IPA, Syncopathic, and Dos Vidania, Distill doesn't disappoint. So we here at Drunken Lullabies encourage you to boycott Bland alongside us. Support flavor. Drink Distill. And the new brew pub is open.
Hey. Oh,
new brewery. New brewery is open, so go check that out. Opened about a week ago.
I got some questions about Distill. Can you have some? You say they're sours or what? Put them on the map?
Pretty much.
I do like their sours. I don't think I've had one sour from them I don't care for.
But, I mean, they've got, lately, they've been winning award. Like, they have a barrel-aged stout. Russian Imperial Stout, the Dos Vidania, that was award-winning.
Did you have that already?
We've had it on the show before, yeah, twice. But yeah, that was a big win for them at FOBAB, which is the Festival of Barrel-Aged Beers that's up in Chicago every year. So they initially were known for their sours, but the other beers are getting out there. But the barrel-aged stuff is, yeah, that's their bread and butter.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'll say my other question about Distill is, you mentioned Chicago. How far is their reach now? Obviously, they're growing leaps and bounds.
Distill is available in about 16 states right now.
Shit. I'm not like a company guy either. I'm not getting paid. I'm curious because, honestly, every time I'm on your show, they're one of your sponsors. You have their drink. I almost want to pick them every single time. I like them so much. Sometimes I just got some questions.
Yeah, they're all across the Midwest. You know, some of the coastal states have it as well down south.
Love coastal states.
But yeah, you know, pretty much the Bible Belt. It's all Distill country.
I had two different sours next to the pool last night.
Oh, did you?
Nice.
Which ones?
The green and the red.
The green and the red. So that'd be the Flanders red. And the Here Goes a Nothing or the Syncopathic? Was it a dark green or a light green?
It was a Syncopathic.
Ah, the dry hop sour, my favorite.
Me and my brother-in-law were watching the kids play in the pool, and we had one in that we just sat in the pool and sipped on some sours.
You dropped the kids off at the pool?
Not in my pool. I'll do that at other people's pool. I will not do that in my own pool.
It's just baby boo.
I'm not promoting kids drinking at all, but I think kids really would enjoy a sour, don't you? I mean, it tastes like candy.
Well, I believe our friend Waylon Beck said that it tasted like some water that his daughter had like left Warheads in when we had a sour on the show,
and he's
like,
go.
"Yeah, so this is like a Kool-Aid beer for kids.
Kid drinks."
Yeah,
I had one that tasted like the Lay's chips, like the dill.
Ooh.
That's how from Distill. Yeah. It was like that.
Hmm.
It puckered me up that much.
Wow. No,
it'll make you pucker.
Pucker up, sucker.
Pucker up, buttercup. Strap on in, because guess what? We got a drinking game for you drunkomaniacs at home. So anytime one of us swears, anytime there is a pop culture reference or an impression, anytime there is an audible expulsion of gas, you take a drink. And anytime the word of the day is said, take a drink. And we're going to make the word of the day redo.
Why would you do that?
Why would I do that? Well, because this episode's a bit of a redo. What happened was about a week ago, we got together and we recorded an episode filled with Texas beers that lovely wife Molly brought back from the Great White Open, the Lone Star State. And we drank them.
Had a great show.
We had fun. Yeah, it was a good show. And then something happened on the way to heaven, as Phil Collins would say.
Something wicked this way.
Yeah. And in post, the episode, it was believed to have been uploaded, but it didn't make it.
It was
aborted halfway through term.
Yeah, I threw it down the stairs.
Okay.
No, I was copying, pasting three sets of files.
Mm-hmm.
And on the third one, I thought I pushed copy, but I just... When I pasted it, I thought, it's uploading files. And then I went and deleted all of them from the Zoom because I was trying to clean it up. Then I went back and went, it pasted the same episode files twice.
No. So,
I felt bad.
It happens,
and
right?
Yeah, you were very apologetic. You felt horrible. And I told you, and hopefully it was conveyed in the tone on the text, I was very forgiving and just like, whatever, shit happens. We've lost shows before. We've lost a show minutes after we did it and re-recorded it immediately following. This is not one of those cases. So we took a week off and we hit reset, and we're going to do a redo tonight. And I think, you know, as good as last week's show was, I think tonight's going to be even better, because we did this kind of already a little bit, but we're changing it up. The beer lineup will not be exactly the same. Some of the beers we are going to be revisiting. I got some new ones. I will not be drinking my pick of the week from last week, which was the Mike Modano 451 Kolsch or whatever. But you know what? We're drinking some other good beers. It's going to be a good time. So it's time for us to kick things off.
Yes.
And brought to you by Iron Spike Brewing Company out of Galesburg, Illinois, it's time for us to play Spin the Bottle. I said, slam it, girl. Slam it, girl. Slam it, girl. Slam it, girl. Where's the marching band at? Pound that beer. What? Pound that beer. Don't drum dial, no. Pound that beer. Pound that beer. Pound that beer. Don't drum dial, no. Pound that beer. Bubble on back to the bar. It's time for Spin the Bottle. And what we are drinking today... is going to be the Midnight Express from Iron Spike Brewing Company. This is their oatmeal stout. It's 5%, 32 IBUs. It's a medium-bodied stout brewed with oats to produce a creamy mouthfeel. This stout has notes of chocolate and coffee that give it a complex flavor. And the flavor profile, oatmeal, coffee, smooth, thin, and roasty.
Yes.
Roasty, toasty.
I'm a stout man.
And burnt to a crisp.
I'm a stout man.
Is there bah, bah, bah. Is there cacao in there?
Cacao nibs?
Cacao.
Well, what we're going to do, we already chugged one of these last week. So we're going
like the Hulkster.
Right? Yeah, you did. You had a legit
That's right.
Hulk Hogan foam stash that was quite impressive. And I wish I would have gotten a photo of that, but... Alas, I did not. It was many other things that were lost that night. So,
dignity,
including my pride. Yeah, I was going to say my virginity. But
did you say roasted, toasted, and burnt to a crisp?
That's a Salute Your Shorts reference.
God damn, I know it is.
We're gonna give Blake an awful waffle later for losing that episode.
Awful waffle.
All right, so this is the Midnight Express, and I'm not talking about Dennis Condrey, Beautiful Bobby Eaton, and Sweet Stan Lane, managed by Jim Cornette. I'm just talking about a fine oatmeal stout. And Blake, I believe we talked about it last time. You're becoming a regular out at Iron Spike.
Yeah, I spend thousands of dollars there. me and my wife.
My wife.
Like to drive up there and have lunch and get some. I'm trying. I've been trying to super do the. No, but we went up there. I got some Dead Man's Doubles, bombers now because they're available.
Yeah.
And so, and we had lunch, and Molly had a mojito.
Mojito.
Oh, I believe it's pronounced mojito.
Oh.
Or mojito, depending on what side of the Mason-Dixon line you're on.
Well, I don't know. The doctor gave her some cream, and everything worked out fine.
But couldn't you have done that yourself? Nice.
Nice. Ryan was there.
And Chef Ryan, shout out. Thanks for the barrel-aged... it was, yeah.
Yeah,
he gave us a bomber to bring home.
Yeah, it was great. I walked out of there with a box. When you go to a brewery and it's not your sponsor and you walk out with a box, they're like a big drunk.
Well, I'm used to it.
They're all gone now.
Yeah.
All the bombers are gone.
That doesn't help the drunk thing.
All right. Well, we'd like to thank Iron Spike Brewing Company out of Galesburg for sponsoring Spin the Bottle, as they have for the past 3 months, and they're going to be sponsoring it for another 3.
Congratulations.
So, that's awesome. Very cool. They're back on board. Blake, Ryan, the First Lady of Iron Spike, Lindsay. Go check them out in Galesburg. Fantastic place. And tell them Drunken Lullaby sent you. I don't know if that'll get you anything.
A wooden nickel?
Maybe a sticker. Who knows?
My favorite.
It'll get you in the door.
My favorite bartender there, it's, I always get it wrong. I think it's Maya. It's either Mia or Maya.
She's potato, super, potato.
Angelou.
Maya Angelou.
She's very wonderful, very sweet, very generous.
I know why the cage bird sings. Because its glass is empty, so let's remedy that.
Fill me up.
All right, so this is one that we did not drink last week. It's one we're drinking now on the redo. So this is one of my go-tos. I thought... It's kind of odd that I haven't featured it on the show yet, but it's because it's a shelfie. It's one that you can see quite often on the shelves around here. So it's nothing extra special, but it's one of those beers that I like drinking on a regular basis.
Is it tried and true?
It is. It's a 6.5% pale ale from Oscar Blues Brewery. I'm talking about the Dale's Pale Ale. This is out of Oscar Blues, Longmont, Colorado. They're big stoners. They put a screen on the can. And the description, this is a weird adverb, voluminously hopped mother delivers a hoppy nose and assertive but balanced flavors of pale malts and citrusy floral hops from start to finish. Oscar Blues launched its canning operations in 2002, brewing and hand canning Dale's Pale Ale in the Lyons, Colorado Brew Pub. America's first craft canned Mountain Pale is a hearty, critically acclaimed trailblazer that changed the way craft beer fiends perceive portable beer. So this has been getting canned for a decade and a half. This is, like I said, one of my favorites. If I see it on the shelf, like I did at IGA, in Metamora yesterday, we were doing a cookout, and Freckles and I needed beer because the Bud Light Tall Boys, I was okay with it. She was not.
She's not having it.
She was not having it. She's like,
she's a classy
get your
broad.
Ass down the road to the store. You get us some beer, y'all here. Better go get us some craft beer.
And
what happened to her?
I don't know. That's what happens when she's sober. That's how she talks.
I have never seen her sober then.
So, I went down to IGA and I looked, and they had the Dale's Pale Ale, and I'm like, I looked on the bottom, because when stores like that, you never know for sure. Sure.
How long they've been sitting.
And it was fresh enough for me.
For you, on a canned IPA.
I don't like drinking over 3 months.
You answered the question before I even asked it. This guy's amazing.
That's IPAs. I've learned that much from listening to the show. Are there any other types of beers that it's better to drink sooner than later?
It depends on if you're wanting flavors to be very prominent and forward. Mm-hmm. Like there's coffee stouts, like a lot of barrel aged coffee stouts. The longer you sit on them, that coffee flavor will subside a bit.
Does it become more boozy then or not?
No.
No.
It will just, you know, it loses a little something. A lot of beers that are like the high ABV ones that are the barrel aged, if you sit on them, they get less boozy.
Yeah.
So sometimes I like doing that because it just mellows it out and I can get more flavors and that. But some you want to drink right away because sometimes they go bad, like the Bourbon County Barley Wine that I still have a bottle of that it was great when I bought it. And I was like, I'm going to sit on one for a little while. And then I found out it was a rotten, tainted batch, and I never got my refund.
One of your favorite words, taint.
Oh, I love taints.
One of my fantasy baseball teams that I've had for about a decade now, the Taint Punchers.
Taint Punch.
I do not change the name. So
I've had this once before at Sully's.
Okay.
And I had it. They featured it one night, and I got a pint glass. It actually came with a pint glass in it.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
Beer of the month.
Back then, I wasn't a fan of IPAs or pale ales at all, so I wasn't, but I've grown to really love IPAs, so now, you know, this tastes good.
Just like we've come to grow to love you.
Exactly.
This is not bad. I like Dale's
pale ale. Yeah. Dale's a good guy.
Dale pale ale.
I didn't like him
that's
as
a... That's how I said it yesterday. She's like, what'd you get? I'm like, Dale pale ale. And she's like, why'd you say it like that? I'm like, because it was funny.
Now, is it considered an IPA or is it
this is a pale ale.
Just a pale ale.
Yeah, okay. An American pale ale. It's not as
I hate the bitter. Communist pale ales. Right, those things are fucking so
it's
awful.
Not as it's not as hoppy.
Got a little bit of foam left in my glass.
Speaking of foam in your glass.
What's everybody drinking out of today? Let's go around and say what glasses we're drinking out of. That's usually what we do here on Drunken Lullabies. Blake, what are you drinking out of?
Went to the Cardinal game.
Rub it in.
Went to the Cardinal game.
Oh, and they won, didn't they?
Yeah. Dig it and rub it in.
So I got a Cardinal glass. I got a home and it's got a crack in it. But
yeah,
I'm manning up.
Did
$18 for this glass.
Did that young lady sell you that glass?
No, but I
was going to text back and I said, is that you in your shorts?
Oh, that, yes.
Amazing.
we were in the parking lot putting all of our stuff that we had bought in the in the van. And I looked through the bushes and there was a
like
it gets worse.
Like you do.
Yeah, always.
And I got out my camera, phone.
Gets better. So I took a picture. Then I said, hey, Molly, look what I took a picture of. And then I showed her the picture, and it was kind of from far away. I zoomed a little bit, but not too much. And, you know, it was just, okay.
So it was amazing.
This is what she does. Molly goes, Eli, go back and sit over on the curb. So he goes and sits on the curb, like, because, you know, he thinks that she's taking a picture of him. And what she does is she just zooms in.
So that was a retake.
The close up was a retake.
What are we talking about exactly? So for the listeners.
Oh, I'm sorry. There was a girl at one of those like a beer kiosk,
right?
And she had short shorts and
she sure did
the tall socks,
short shorts and knee socks.
That's like 1970s roller skater.
Ooh. And here's the, and it's well established hot, at wet. Least with my girlfriend and my close personal friends. That's like my kryptonite. I'm a sucker for short shorts and tall socks.
Here's the part that was the kicker. I don't think she had any underwear on because those shorts were from the top of her crack all the way underneath.
I'm pulling the picture now.
I can't say I studied it that closely.
I did. It got me through the game.
So how many different photos were taken?
Because
I think you and Molly had sent me one, just the three of us on a text change.
So this is the
exchange,
close-up?
Didn't you?
That's the close-up that Molly took.
Jesus.
I had to take two because one of them I got the fence bar. And so you couldn't see the crack. Yeah.
Ooh, you know what?
What does that mean?
It's time for another beer. Big E, what are you drinking out of?
I am drinking out of a Lone Star State pint glass. I got the Lone Star.
Oh, that's appropriate because we're going to drink a beer from Texas.
From the great state of Texas.
There's that.
Not going to do it. No new taxes.
Can I finish?
Jason, what are you drinking out of?
Plastic cup.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm drinking out of.
Sorry, guys.
Red Solo cup in it. But anyway, this is one of the older ones that we drank last week. Trying to find
fire.
Yeah.
Damn. Fire!
It's the Dave Matthews Band, Ants Marching. Just kidding. It's called... What's it called again? Fire Ant Funeral?
Yep, there she is.
It's an amber ale, and this one clocks in at 6%, and it's the antidote to the Big Sting, a traditional amber ale complexly built from a careful selection of 7 different malts. American-grown hops harmoniously round out the wonderfully rich malts, balanced without the bite. And the flavor profile, hoppy, smooth, malty, sweet, and light.
So many flavors.
And this is one of them that came in your Texas variety pack.
Right. It was really pissed me off. And that it was like a 12-pack box.
Yeah.
And then you opened it up. It had 10 beers in it and a cardboard box
they
in the middle.
They cheated you out of beer.
They could have given me another, you know, another 2 cans.
Two cans, Sam. Well, we're drinking this
crap
again.
Beer week.
Is it what you guys remember from?
I don't remember much.
That's true.
But I remember I love you.
You pre-gamed a little too much last week.
No.
Thanks to
much.
Iron Spike Brewing Company, you were drinking that the Comet.
Right. Yeah. I had a growler.
Was it a crowler or a growler?
It was a crowler.
It was Mr. Crowley.
Are those two different things?
Yes.
Mr. Crowler.
Crowlers are about half the size. They're the smaller. They're
Bomber,
the baby growlers.
Growler, crowler. Ugh.
Candlestick maker.
Go to your head.
I think I probably said the same thing about it as I said this time.
What's the flavor?
It's an amber ale.
It's another ale.
Balanced without the bite.
The Dale's pale ale.
It's got 32 IBUS.
Better.
It's got a big ass ant on it too.
Mo better.
I hate
like them. I don't like that beer because my house is infested with them goddamn things.
Well, here's the thing. We're going to be going to Texas in July, and Brianna's mom and stepdad came up to visit for Mother's Day. And they were telling us about how large the insects and the bugs are down there. And I think that one on that can is life size.
Holy shit.
I will kick that thing in its nuts.
It's like 2 inches long. That's huge.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm really looking forward to being on bug patrol.
I'm glad you consider 2 inches huge.
Oh, fuck.
Meet me in the pool.
Redo.
What part of Texas are they from?
They're from the Victoria area. I mean... Recently.
So they wear corsets and stuff?
Yes.
Victorian.
They're Victorian.
Castle times.
That's another period.
Oh, boy.
You can hashtag that.
Castle times. Cut them off.
Well, what we're going to do while we finish this Fire Ant Funeral, while they finish the Fire Ant Funeral anyways, I have a little bit to read here. We're going to introduce our band of the week. Again,
redo.
You guys really liked it last week.
I did like it.
And we're gonna redo it, and you get to hear it again.
It's a Mario redo.
So this is our band of the week. It is Alone, which is a side project from Michael Franzino, who you may know from the prog metal indie band A Lot Like Birds, who actually have a brand new album out as well, so go check that out. But we're going to play a few songs from his album, Somewhere in the Sierras, which he recorded back in December of like 2014, I believe. And it came out.
There you go.
And
it redo was, that. It was
fully self-released.
Ooh.
But.
Self-released.
In early 2014, A Lot Like Birds' guitarist and composer Michael Franzino launched a successful Indiegogo campaign to fund the inception of his solo endeavor, softer musical counterpart, Alone. In an attempt to fully immerse himself into the creative process, the project entailed him intentionally isolating himself in a cabin somewhere in the Sierra Mountain Range for 2 months to compose the album. He then recorded what was written with engineer and producer Drew Owens upon his return from the woods. And the result was the debut Alone LP, aptly titled Somewhere in the Sierras. And that was released DIY a year after his Indiegogo campaign. And we've got a little bit of insight into the songs that we're going to be playing. The first song is called Close Without Closure, which was the first track I heard off of this album, and I was hooked immediately. It's actually got a little bit of an interlude before that's called an interlude for Andrew DeMar, and he was like a top contributor to the Indiegogo campaign and got the song named after him. So it's not anybody that he knew beforehand, or like a guy didn't kill himself, and it's not a memorial.
Like the song could have easily been called Sprite if Sprite had paid for the song, right?
An interlude.
Drunken Lullabies.
It could have been.
Drunken Lullabies interlude.
I could have done that. But here's a little bit.
Because you're rich from all your sponsorship money?
Not rich. Here's a little bit about Close Without Closure. The song was written second, which is funny because somehow the first two songs I wrote ended up being the first two singles. It features possibly my most prided drum groove that I've ever written, which Joe, of course, managed to make even cooler and more articulate. And probably one of my most catchy hooks in the chorus melody. I intentionally wrote this track to be vocally oriented, and honestly didn't even know if I liked it until I wrote the vocals later in the demo process. This was one of those rare songs a composer prays for that just kind of pours out quickly and effortlessly without thinking or over-revising or redoing. Close Without Closure is especially close to my heart because it was written about something I was currently going through and was very poignant to me at the time. It's the most Cure love song-esque thing I've ever written, and I still somehow managed to make it sad. The song is about loving someone you can't be with, whether it be because of distance or timing or a combination of those things, and navigating all the gray areas that come with such a relationship. It's about knowing in your rational mind that it can't work, but being unable to resist being drawn to them. So you end up trying to have your cake and eat it too. Just giving in and trying to trust that you are both mature enough to still love each other but not be together, and deal with the ache of it being open-ended and wondering about what-ifs. I think the content of this one most successfully matches the mood set by the song out of all the tracks, second only to Maternity Leave, which we're not playing that song on this episode. I encourage you to go check it out on your own.
Because it's like 3 months long?
What?
Maternity Leave? Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's only a couple weeks. They both were the most emotional I felt when tracking the vocals. I was quite literally singing my heart out at the end. So, without any further ado, thanks to the intro by Michael there, we're going to play an interlude for Andrew DeMar right into Close Without Closure here on Drunken Lullabies.
Thank you.
Well, goddamn, if that's not a fantastic song. That was Alone with Close Without Closure. I'm going to do a redo. We did not include the interlude
there.
The file didn't work right, so we just went with the lead track. If you want to check out the interlude, you should just listen to the full album.
Yeah.
And then you'll hear it all. Okay?
That might have been one of those accidents that was probably for the better.
Maybe.
Because it's going to make people go, I want to hear that interlude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You heard just a sneak peek. I want to hear the interlude in the new song. But yeah, that was Close Without Closure.
Redo. It made me think of... we talked about this last time we recorded the show, but it really does make me think, hearing it again, of the band Mew. I think they're from the Northern European region.
Yeah.
And they have that very kind of like dreamlike sound, mm-hmm. the higher vocals.
And other people said a very similar sentiment upon hearing, because this was one of the first tracks that was released before the album came out.
And I honestly really like Mew a lot. So this is a cool, it's kind of like a little different spin on it, but the vocals and the dreaminess is all still there.
Yeah, his vocals and Danica, who sings background vocals on the whole album, but is prominently featured on three songs that we will be playing, I think that's just how it is. I just loved their back and forth male-female vocals. So we're going to hear a little bit more from Alone in a bit. But first, we have another beer to drink.
Yes.
Oh. And this is a redo.
I love beer.
This is the Texas Ale Project, something shady, porter.
A little porter action.
Now, I remember this one because of the sexy lady on the side of the can.
Sexy lady!
Who's this by?
This is Texas Ale Project.
Now, when we did the Social Kitchen episode, was this by the same?
No, that was Southern Prohibition.
Okay, because they had like a sexy lady on the side of theirs that looked similar to this.
That was the Devil's Harvest.
Sexy lady.
Ladies sell beer, guys.
This is Texas Ale Project. They've got I don't even know what
sexy ladies.
What era would you say that is? Is that kind of like a mod girl, maybe?
I don't know.
The classic
red lipstick.
Can you
tilt that back towards me?
Ahmad Rashad?
Yeah, Ahmad Rashad.
That's a Jackie Onassis.
This is what you drink when you're watching NBA Jam.
That's definitely
Will Obey.
That's
Anna
definitely
Storm or whoever else was on that show.
Definitely a Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis.
Which makes sense because JFK got shot in Dallas.
Oh, he did.
JFK got blown away.
What else do I have to say? That this beer is smooth and mysterious. Interesting things happen in the shadows. Our unusually drinkable porter with subtle notes of coffee and chocolate is proof. This ale is a sublime blend of premium roasted malts, delectable enough to be enjoyed no matter what you're up to. The flavor profile, coffee, smooth, light, roasty, and dark. And this is a 5.5 percenter.
Just like I said last time, tastes like everything it said in that description.
5.5 seems low for a porter to me.
No, that's about right.
Okay.
The stouts are going to be heavier. Okay. The porter...
I think of those two in tandem so much.
Yeah. I've said it before, a porter, a lot of people call it a weak-ass stout. That it's not as roasty, it's not as coffee-forward, not as boozy. It's, it's not literally a watered-down stout, but you could kind of call it that. They're thinner, they're a little more crushable. Like, I could drink this a lot quicker than I could drink...
Like the oatmeal stout.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, so... we're just having some crackling oat bran. That's all we're having. I saw a meme recently of Jackie Onassis or something, and it was her. It was a different perspective than what I'm used to seeing, but she was like crawling over the back of the car, and it said, JFK got to be gay as hell to be sleeping with an ass like that right behind him.
Jesus.
It made me laugh.
You sick motherfucker.
That's the worst shit I've ever heard. He's trying to put her fucking husband's skull back together and someone puts a meme out.
I gotta get all these bits. All these little bits.
Perfect Onassis.
Could you move those bits? Can you move it over a bit?
Yeah, move the bits over a bit.
Let me get those bits.
A brain.
He was a president.
Oh boy. I think
he got all of the pussy though.
All of it.
The most important pussy ever.
That's probably what she was doing. She was
the MIP.
She was splitting all the brain bits up to for all his former lovers.
But have you heard of an MIP? Most important pussy. Oh my god.
I'm acting appropriately. I don't know what
Well, this beer is called Something Shady, so if you're going to get inappropriate, this is the time to do it.
Guess who's back?
I almost think it looks like something like a 1980s, that the artwork on the can, like 1980s department store artwork is what it looks like to me.
Looks like an Andy Warhol.
You think so?
Hey, remember when you were a kid and you had to look at the Sears catalog to see women in their underwear and stuff like that?
Hell yeah.
Man. How did we?
It was called Victoria's
Secret.
How
did we make it to where we are and now kids?
Well, what do men want? Naked ladies. So what? Where did technology advance in naked ladies?
I guess.
God bless the USA.
I think that's what Lee Greenwood's song is all about.
If tomorrow all the nudes were gone,
I'd proudly stand up next to you.
I'd have to look at my wife.
I'd have to look at my children and my wife.
My wife.
Thank my lucky stars. There's still nudes here today.
Anyways, this is the last Texas beer we'll be drinking.
The last drunken lullabies.
No, this is the last carryover. I do want to give some shout outs to the beers we left behind, much like JFK's skull. There was the Cyclers Brewing Domestique Wit, which, Blake, I believe that was your pick.
Yeah, that was my pick.
We had a Texas Gold Cream Ale.
It was good. That was good. It was
smooth.
And then we had the Something Shady Porter, which we're drinking right now. We had the Mike Badano's 561 Kolsch Style from Rabbit Hole Brewing.
That you could turn into a hockey puck.
That was my pick. On the can, it said, how to make a puck, drink the beer, crush the can. There's your puck.
There you go.
And then we had the Fire Ant Funeral. So, you know, we're revisiting two of them, and the other three we at least gave a shout out. Did either of you guys pick any of the beers that we left behind?
I picked the porter, but I might pick something different this time.
That's true.
I don't remember.
It's a totally different lineup.
Let's just play the episode back real quick and I'll remember. Yep.
All right, we're going to play another song from our band of the week, yes. Alone. Our next song is called Please Try, and I've got a little bit of backstory on this from Michael as well. The music to this track was sort of inspired by the song The New Year by Death Cab for Cutie, which after reading that, I totally heard it at the very beginning of the song. It definitely is a wink and a nod to that song. I even gave it a nod lyrically in the first verse, Gray Eyes, Should I Still Be Here for the New Year? It was written around a chord progression I came upon just jamming with myself that I really connected to. Like Close Without Closure, it was also one intentionally written for vocals to be the focal point. This song is one of the most conventionally structured songs I've ever written, which fans of A Lot Like Birds might disdain for not being innovative, but I personally pride myself on it. Successfully making something I'm passionate about within the confines of very commonly used parameters is extremely hard for me to achieve. And when I do so, it makes me feel as if it were the more ambitious road to travel. Making a song without rules or sense is something more easier than making overused cliche structures still expressive of yourself. This song only has two chord progressions and repeats quite a bit of itself. And for me to pull that off and still not feel bored by it is a triumph as far as I'm concerned. It's also a love song of sorts and was written about thoughts and feelings I had when dating my last serious girlfriend, with whom I had since broken up with. It's about listlessly being in love and that desperation and trying to keep the flame alive. It's also about reflecting on shitty patterns in relationships and wondering if monogamy is even right for you. Finding yourself again and again, reaching the death of the honeymoon phase, and finding yourself bored, exhausted, and forgetting those things that first ignited the fire. Dreaming back to the initial love sickness and waking up to the stark contrast of where it led to. It was pretty weird and hard to put myself back into the shoes of how I felt when we were together, but I remember all the feelings and yearnings still vividly, and I'm sure it would have been the same song if I'd written it then. Overrun and Underwhelmed was a close second for the song title. Well, you heard it from Michael, now you're going to hear it in a different way. This is Alone with Please Try, here on Drunken Lullabies. Exactly. Please try is the name of that song.
Please just try.
And please try to check out that album by Alone somewhere in the Sierras. I'm telling you, it's a great record.
He is really singing his heart out there.
Yeah.
You mentioned it in the description, which I really like the descriptions of the songs.
Monogamy will be the death of me. That's not a light lyric.
That's pretty powerful. Yeah. I think it rings home to a lot of people because everyone's experienced that. But you can really feel it to the point where it's... It's almost troublesome to you to hear.
I do remember when this album came out, some people were like, man, this was like a depressing listen, but in a good way.
It's got a great sound, but yeah, his lyrics really ring home, and I'm sure not just to me, and there's nothing special about me. I think to a lot of people, you know? Anyway, great song.
I don't know. I'm not sure my mic... There we go. Now I sound a little better in my headphones. I'm not sure what the deal was. We'll just redo too.
I think it was a curse of the Bam Blake because I cannot record an episode of Drunk Lullabies without getting fucked up or just screwing everything up.
It's okay.
If you're playing the drinking game at home, you probably should be operating a podcast.
Well, we've got another beer to drink.
Yes.
More beer?
Yep. And this one's from Against the Grain, which... we've had some of their beers on the show before. They're out of Louisville.
A great Bad Religion album.
It is. It is indeed. But this is the Shownuff Blonde Ale. This is
Can you redo that?
Shownuff.
Thank you.
Got that drop?
Yeah.
Who's the baddest?
Yeah, I was going to say, if anybody knows that reference, it's Big E.
Shownuff. Who's the master?
You guys fans of The Last Dragon?
I entered a dragon.
I love
from the back.
Whoa. The Barry Gordy Motown produced kung fu movie.
You are the last dragon.
And
hold on.
Let's read a little bit about.
Well, we just glazed right over the fact that Blake had sex with a dragon.
That was last week.
Okay,
it was a redo.
I'm sorry.
All right, beer for the bad mother.
Bad mother.
Is this the baddest mofo lowdown golden ale in this town?
Show enough.
Oh, shit.
This thirst-quenching golden ale can get a rise out of any limp wimp.
Show enough.
Don't you believe it. Shotgun the Shogun and show you can handle a beer for the bad motherfucker.
Show
enough. Shut your mouth.
Flavor profile, light, smooth, malty, sweet, and clean. That description is not clean. Well, they had a couple squiggly... Ampersands and hashtags.
Ampersands, good.
I dated a girl named Ampersand.
You've dated 100 girls from behind.
You missed it, Dustin, before you showed up. We spent 20 minutes talking and looking on Facebook about a girl that I finger banged in high school.
That's fun.
Was she called out by her full name?
I'm going to tag her in the show notes.
Did I go to jail?
Why would that be going to jail?
I don't know.
They have to send you a cease and desist letter first.
Well, that's fun. Cease and desist. Fingering from 30 years
Whenever
ago.
Dustin's not satisfied with something I say, you go, well, that was fun.
That was nice.
Moving on from finger banging.
Good.
Let's go ahead and skate over that one.
We're not going to have to edit this out, are we?
No.
Okay. Fuck, I forgot to push record.
Yeah, that's about right. So this is the Shownuff. I don't know if you guys have had this. Against the Grain is fairly new to our area. We've had, I'd say, at least three of their beers on the show, but not this one. And again, picked it up at IGA in Metamora.
Really?
Now, is this, you know, their artwork for their can, is this the same kind of style on all their different cans?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because there's a guy with like a baseball cap on or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
That so would I've be that. The
I've seen that at Broadway.
I think that's called America or America, something like that. But they also have one that we've had on the show. It was on the episode I did with my friends the Huntingtons that was called Really?
Oh, very cool.
And that was the Poffo Pills, which was named after Randy Macho Man Savage. And Poffo, I guess there was some litigation from the
really?
Poffo family
really?
About use of that
name. I'm surprised Barry Gordy hasn't come after him for showing up.
Yeah, well.
Great episode with the Huntingtons.
Yeah, thank
they had
you.
Opened for the Ramones and played with the Ramones at one point. Is that
in
right?
In the past, yes.
Very cool. Yeah, this is I really like the art style of this, and I'm surprised you find this ad. Like, because IGAs, whenever I think about an IGA, I think about a little speck on the map.
Yeah.
A tiny little town.
Where the hell you find an IGA at?
Well, he said Metamora.
Okay.
There's like a Casey's across the street, and I know what Casey's carries because I have one across the street for me.
Right.
And I didn't feel like drinking Henry's hard orange soda.
Well,
so,
what's the deal with IGAs carrying,
what's
you know...
What's the deal with IGAs carrying craft beer?
What's the deal?
So is that something they're kind of known for? Do they
no,
carry...
No, it's just they had a fairly decent selection for a small town.
That is very interesting
store.
To me. Huh.
How many stumbling drunks in America or across the nation, or the whole world, on a Sunday when they listen to this show?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know
there's so that. Many pop culture references. Flying. Phil
show
flying.
Show enough.
This is very...
it's a light, easy drink.
I was going to say, very drinkable.
Like I said, we were barbecuing last night. We had steaks that were literally 2 inches thick.
We had burgers.
They were fucking ridiculous.
We had burgers from Costco that didn't shrink that were fucking 2 inches thick.
Yeah. I mean, these were huge steaks. We had tons of pork chops, and I was like, we're grilling.
Sorry. What?
Did you finger a pork chop or something?
Blake's fucked everything under the
for
sun.
For a pork chop sandwich.
No, I think of a joke and I look at Jason and then I get disappointed in myself.
No, oh,
don't do that.
He's thinking about 2 inches of steak and beef. That does sound delicious.
Put it out there, man.
I could be, you know, sit on a raft in the pool in a hot summer day, slamming the shit out
and
of this.
And it's a tall boy.
And you know what I would do?
A little more.
You know what I would do?
What would you do?
I don't care who's around. I would yell, show enough.
Show enough.
No diggity.
No doubt.
As long as Vanity was in the pool with me.
Or Blackstreet.
Hey, all right. No diggity.
Had that puppet of Anthony Hardaway.
Oh, no, I think it was Chris Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Little Penny.
Little Penny.
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
I can drink it all day.
To me, this, I don't know. This is not my kind of beer. It's drinkable, but it doesn't have enough flavor.
No, yeah.
We're a yin and a yang.
You
like them dark, I like them light.
I love them dark.
You guys are the yin-yang twins.
And that's something funny. For you being the black magnet, only seen you with white bitches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you step up to that name, son?
Tell us how you
all do. Right, guys. I'll start having sex with more dark ladies.
I'm just saying.
All right. I'll see what I can do.
I'm gonna call you the Caucasian magnet. Doesn't have the same ring to it.
I'm currently seeing a pale lady.
A pale ale.
Dale Pale Ale.
Dale Pale Ale.
She's nice. I've met her.
She's a good lady.
Yeah, she's nice. I felt like I cock blocked him, though.
Why?
I showed up to his house 5 minutes early, and it's like, you know how OCD he is. He probably had it all planned out, and they were getting ready to make out in front of the van.
Hardcore makeout sesh?
He was blasting her for an hour.
No. He's too much of a gentleman for that.
Yeah, I'm so much a gentleman that I don't finger blast a lady for an hour.
She never said to stop. And
this is not the kind of show he has.
No. Sorry.
Wait till we record Fluppy Dogs. Couch Pilots.
Fluppy Dogs. All right. Well, we mentioned Couch Pilots. Let's hear an ad from them.
Yes, it's Couch Pilots, the show that dares to fly into the unknown territory of awful television pilots of the past. Join Captain Blake Clayton and me, the Bottle Cap Kid, as we soar through the skies while discussing television shows that had one and only one episode. We'll dig into behind-the-scenes facts that may or may not be interesting, break down why it didn't work, unearth reviews from around the world, and provide our very own special brand of rating. So click a blue link, say hi to Tarmac John, and become one of our very own frequent flyers by subscribing in iTunes or your favorite podcast app of choice, and earn points towards an array of surprise prizes. Check out new episodes every Monday, and don't forget to rate us, leave us a review, and tell a friend. And as always, we're proudly part of the FCF Network family of shows at fcfnetwork.com. Well, these pilots are usually rough, but it's always a smooth flight here on Couch Pilots. Thanks, everyone. Hope to see you soon.
Well, that's a fun show.
It's a good time.
I've been a part of that show a few times.
I like it.
You like it? Well, that's good. It's like your show.
I just did that show.
I like to do it.
I like it.
Oh, baby, I like it.
Well, you know what I like?
Couch Pilots again?
Yeah, that too, but...
Sorry.
This is yours, so I'm not going to...
I want my...
They say the word faggot in that song a couple times. How do they get away with that?
Little faggot got a little earring.
Blister on his thumb. Microwave oven.
That little faggot's got his own cement pond. That little faggot is a millionaire.
That's the Weird Al version, right?
Yep. Yeah, Weird Al's always saying the word faggot.
I believe they say clamp it because it's about the Beverly Hillbillies.
Does he really say Clampett?
That little Clampett's got his own cement pond. That little Clampett, he's a millionaire.
I had no idea. That is hilarious.
Oh, it's on the UHF soundtrack. I can let you borrow it if you want.
Okay.
I'm a Yankaholic or whatever they want.
Yankmeister?
Yeah, I'm a Yankmeister. with a last name like Wyckoff and being called Wackoff all through high school. I think
Wyckoff Smirnoff?
There's a little bit in here. Coming. I did a big pour, so you guys, somebody else can take some more of this.
Oh, I'm good.
My tiny glass is full, but I
fuck my life. I'll take it. I was trying to be nice because this is one of those big,
Fuck my life.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is called a Crowler or what?
No, this is a bomber.
It's a bomber.
That's a bomber.
But it's got a really cool label. This is from Microphone Brewing, which I believe we've had maybe one of their beers on here. They just opened a bottle shop recently. Before they were just only distributing in the Chicago area, but now you can actually go there, pick up a bunch of their different beers. But they're in Elk Grove Village in Illinois. This is batch 19 of this beer, and this is the I Want My IPA, which is their American India Pale Ale with Mosaic and Citra hops, which are two of my favorite hops to use in IPAs. But what's cool is the label. It's that old school MTV logo. Yeah.
It's got that fuzzy background.
Yeah, and it's a TV with the orange eye and the PA written in the corner. So this is a 7.25%. This is the first time I've had it. So this is going to be a new one for me.
What's your total?
What's my total? Oh, geez, I don't know. I'd have to pull up on tap.
Oh, I thought that's what you were doing.
Oh, no, hold on a second.
I acquired this bottle thanks to a friend of the show, Brian, who was at Microphone and...
Two turntables?
No, just the microphone. And he was like, hey, does anybody want anything? And took a picture of their to-go beer. And I was like, yeah, I'll take some of the IPAs. And I also picked up a bottle of the Microphone Check 1-2, which was their double dry hopped Citra IPA, which Freckles and I drank earlier tonight. That was my pregame. And that was fantastic as well. But, yeah, I'm at about 2180 unique beers.
What's
right
the next
now.
Mark? 2500?
2500.
While we were sitting here doing the show, I just got my 50.
50?
50.
I've got some questions.
Okay.
I've heard of IPA.
Yes.
I've heard of APA. Mm-hmm. This is, you said it's an American India Pale Ale. What the, how's that?
No, it's still an IPA.
Okay.
It's just that it's made in America.
America.
Next thing you said.
Fuck yeah.
It said it's Mosaic and Citra hops, which is a great combination that you like.
Yeah.
Citra, I get.
Citra is my favorite.
I get Citra. But what is Mosaic? I think about tiles or something.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with that at all. Typically, I don't necessarily like strictly Mosaic.
But what's that flavor? Blends. Like when someone says that, what does that mean?
It's kind of a citrusy one. Lemon, mango.
Yeah. I get the mango for sure. Yeah.
It's like a lemon to a lime.
It's very to a lemon. It's very Chris Kattanish.
What the freak? This character Mango from SNL.
That's what you say when you drink it.
I love Chris Kattan. After this, let's go watch Corky Romano.
Oh, no,
I have the DVD. That's a movie I've seen all the way through.
You want some cookies? I heard you say it on Couch Pilots a few weeks ago and laughed out loud when I heard it because I thought I was one of the only people that remembered just that line from that movie. And that was it.
You said you got the DVD of it. Does he do commentary?
Is that
on
the
it?
One where he like becomes like a undercover?
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, it's called Corky thing. Romano, like colon something, right?
Yeah, I remember what it was. But my favorite scene is when he's he goes undercover. He's not really a cop, but he goes undercover. And he's in the FBI because he's trying to narc somebody out. I forget, but he's at the FBI place, and it's like they're like, oh, you need to. You know, give a class to these kids about drugs or whatever. And, like, he wrestles this bag, big, huge bag of cocaine with this dog. Yeah. And so then he's at the podium. He's all fucking just coke. He's like, what about? What about? What about? What about? What about? I can watch that movie every day.
Well, I just looked up some info.
Just a Corky Romano?
No. Jason wanted to hear about Mosaic.
I was all excited.
Mosaic Cops.
This is going to be great.
You know, I wanted to get some more official statements here. It was Mosaics. It was released in 2012 by the Hop Breeding Company.
This specific beer.
This specific okay. no. Okay. This specific hop. You were asking about Mosaic okay. hops
yes.
in general.
Yes.
Mosaic hops feature complex but clean flavor characteristics and are known for their triple use profile, encompassing bittering flavor and aroma. They have high alpha acids. But low cohumalone, which makes them pleasantly hoppy.
I knew it.
And they are carrying flavors of mango, pine, citrus, and herbs, and aromas of tropical and stone fruit. So like peaches.
Stone fruit?
Stone fruit, you know.
I don't.
Plums? No.
Plum is a stone fruit?
I don't think so. I just realized that. Nectarines, peaches.
With anything with a big pit that looks like a fucking stone?
Exactly.
Okay.
And then Mosaic is the first daughter of Simcoe and Nugget.
What?
And has been humorously referred to by some as Citra on steroids.
I get bitter and mango.
Simcoe and Nugget are also hops. But
isn't Simcoe a game company?
Simcoe is the one that's kind of cat pissy. That's what people describe it
that's
as.
That's what people want to drink, right? A big boiling glass of
you
cat
guys,
piss.
I made this great hops.
What's in it, bro?
It tastes like cat piss.
Fucking love it.
Now, granted, I'm drinking this out of a red Solo cup, but
you like Imodium?
I mean, I have to take more Imodium than I'd like to admit.
I mean ammonia.
Yeah. We killed Jason. We need to redo that bit. I'm getting almost like a cream nose on it. Not necessarily like a cream soda, but like...
Yeah, there's a...
I don't know. It's got a different than most IPAs, I would say.
Yeah.
It has a creaminess to it. Jason, you
damn near killed me, man. I almost shot that shit right out of my nose.
Wrecked him.
Damn near killed him.
Get it together, man.
You gonna make it?
Went down the wrong pipe.
Yeah.
I'm full of pipes.
How many pipes is there?
Two pipes.
Now, speaking of two.
Three pipes.
Well, if you're talking about two and doubling up.
Which we are.
I say we can play our third song the show, which I hope you guys, we've been doing this for a few weeks now, and I hope you guys have enjoyed the new format. I wanted to include more music in the show. I put up a survey and had enough feedback that seemed like it was worth exploring, and I'm a big music fan, and I wanted to make the music a little more prominent in the show.
The music to beer ratio was way off.
It was. And we're getting, you know, like, we've got these descriptions about the song, so we're bringing the music a little more forward than it was in the past, and hopefully you guys appreciate that. But we have one more song from Alone from the album Somewhere in the Sierras, and this is Redundant. And I'm going to tell a little bit about this track before we listen to it while these guys finish their I Want My IPA. This track is unique for me because it's among the few really major key songs I've ever written. I originally intended it for it to be really simple and a catchy sing-along that anyone could remember. It's also unique for me in that the initial inspiration for the song came to me in my head when I was driving and I didn't have an instrument around. Most of the time, my songs are born out of me consciously seeking it out, trying a million things on guitar or programming drums rather than the pure inspiration I've heard about happening. As soon as I parked my car after the drive, I ran in and quickly demoed out the chord progression I'd heard in my head, and the vocal melody poured out rather effortlessly. I think this track was the easiest to listen to and very close to being the first single. I was actually kind of embarrassed of this song for a long time because I never imagined myself writing a breakup song. The demo placeholder title for the song was even How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days in mockery of myself. I was always turned off by the idea of how played out that is, but it's like I said about Please Try. Doing something new and refreshing with something old and tired is a difficult feat and an achievement when done right. Redundant is about a reoccurring unhealthy relationship cycle, and I tried to make everything about the song reflect that. I wanted it to be just one verse chord progression that repeats redundantly, as if the events in the song just keep happening over and over from relationship to relationship. The lyrics are an intentional oversimplification of a failed relationship to serve as a kind of satire for how stupid the cycle is and how ridiculous it is to not learn from it enough to prevent its reoccurrence. Because the song is worded as if I am saying it to my partner, I figured making it a duet with Danica would further the satirical effect, making the words cycle sound even more ridiculous when said out loud to each other. Danica gave an especially beautiful vocal performance on the song, and I think it's the best we sounded together. I also feel like the music being so major key and happy sounding, contrasted with such a sad song lyrically, adds to the satirical mood. All right, well, you heard it from Michael. Let's hear it now. On Drunken Lullabies, this is Redundant Redundant.
Well, let's say the worst thing. Sorry, and take it all back.
And that was Redundant by Alone off of the album Somewhere in the Sierras. Like I said before, check out that album. It's the only one that he's put out under this name. It's Alone, all lowercase with a period at the end. Download it on their Bandcamp page. You know, pay for the album. You can get it digitally. I believe they made vinyl pressing of it. There may be physical CDs if you want that. Or if you just want to check it out on Spotify, do that too. But follow them on Facebook. They're not a touring band, but you can check him out on tour with his main band, A Lot Like Birds, and check out their brand new album. But yeah, just show Michael some love and check out the tunes. And I'd like to thank him for letting us play them on the show and for providing that insight to the songs themselves.
The insight of it is cool. Good stuff. When you can hear about others.
Yeah, for sure.
Hear about where the song came from an artist's standpoint.
And I know some of those songs, the mixes of them, it's an intentional effort, but the vocals are, like you said with Mew, they're almost like another instrument. They're not necessarily on the forefront of the mix. They're kind of lower end. So I encourage people to look up the lyrics if they can't make out what he's singing, because that adds a whole new level to it.
One of my favorite bands of all time is Tool. And they often say that Maynard's vocals is like another instrument in the band.
Mm-hmm.
So I relate to that, and I enjoy that. And when someone's vocals take center stage, it's cool. But when it becomes part of the ensemble,
yeah. mm-hmm.
that really it really highlights all the other aspects of the song to me.
All right. Well, hopefully you guys enjoyed that. And it's time for us to do what we do every week. Thanks to Distill Brewery. It's time for the Sponsor Spotlight!
Sponsor Spotlight.
My voice is like a monster, and now a word from my sponsor.
All right, thank you, Boogie Down Productions. It is time for the Sponsor Spotlight, and we are going to redo our Sponsor Spotlight. It is the Wild Sour Series Flanders Red. This is 6.1%. The Flanders Red is an acidic sour ale with an initial impression of tart cherries and sour candy that dissipates into a complex palate, displaying both a sharp lactic sourness with a backbone of caramel and a biscuit malt profiles and minimal hop character. The dry, wine-like finish accentuates the complex malt profile and bright fruit notes showcased in this brilliant red-colored interpretation of a Belgian-style Flanders. Cheers! Get some of that in your glass.
Just grab them in the biscuits.
But yeah, we drank this one last week. We're drinking it again. I still had... this is my last can of it. I will be getting some more Sponsor Spotlight beers from Distill here very soon. They've had a lot going on with the new brewery opening, and their canning and bottling lines were shut down for a little while.
Oh, shit.
Because they had to move them up the road. You know, so that kind of threw sense. Their production.
They shut the shit down on them clowns. Exactly. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
So they've got a couple new beers that are now being canned that we will probably be featuring on upcoming episodes. It is the Wild Sour Blueberry Goza. Ooh. And the Amara, which is their mango IPA.
Man.
Mm. Look at the good what the frick?
Distill's killing it,
dude.
Distill's killing it.
This is probably my favorite. My favorite sour out of the sour line.
I was talking to our friend Jeremy from Still, Wicked Stash, and I was like, hey, you got some more beer for me? And he goes, well, we will. Here's the thing. Our new canning line is too efficient because a lot of the cans that I would get for the show and the bombers were like short fills, which... They really weren't that short of a fill,
right.
But they were enough for quality control that they had to be taken off the line.
I see.
Well, the new line is so efficient, there's not that much being left.
It's filling them up, baby.
It's filling them up. They're not having any leftovers for the drunken lullabies, guys.
Many women have said that about me.
This thing is so efficient.
I'm filling them up.
We're cranking out so many more beers right now.
So, Blake, Distill... In normal,
yeah,
it's going to be about the same drive to Galesburg. Are you going to be going there every other weekend now too?
I think what we're going to do.
You're going to alternate.
Here's how we're going to do this.
Like kids, you got Distill one weekend and Iron Spike the next.
That's the way it's going to be. I think are they gonna have food at the new brew pub?
Yes.
Okay.
Pub fare. It's right? not. Yeah. It's not gonna be like the food they have at the restaurant. It's gonna be more pub fare, like Biggie said. But fantastic food regardless. And at time of recording, they were still looking for servers and bartenders and tour guides and all that fun stuff.
Tour guides. That's awesome.
And that
would be a cool job.
Believe me, I thought about it, but I've already got three jobs with this podcast. I don't need a fourth.
If I lived in that area, I'd give up the Domino's job to be a server.
I'm going
to
answer your question right now. We have kids every other weekend, so we can't go.
I got kids.
All right.
Like so Heath Slater.
We're going to alternate every other. So we're going to go each one of them bi-monthly.
Okay. There you go.
That's very fair of you.
That is fair. It's very diplomatic. Oh, what about White Oak? If you're going to go to...
I haven't been there yet because...
You need to.
They always talk about how packed it's going to be, and so then we never drive down there because I'm afraid that we're going to get down there and not be able to get in. It's a smaller
building, but if you get there right when it opens, you'll be fine. So what I would suggest on this weekend excursion, take the Mitsubishi Motorway exit first before you take Veterans and take Mitsubishi
and then
get on White Oak Road off of Industrial or whatever.
Here's the thing. I used to take that exit and I used to go down White Oak because I used to date a girl that lived in.
Surprise, surprise, Blake.
Here we go.
Her name was Natalie. She was a former stripper.
from Alabama. Quit?
Oh, no. She was, by the time I met her, she was already...
Tired. Rode hard?
Put away wet. She had a southern draw.
She had a lot of miles on her.
Tell you what, though, that southern draw. Mm.
I do declare Beauregard. But anyway, check out.
Let's high five that shit. High five, Natalie.
Go to White Oak first.
Okay.
Have a flight. Say hi to Brian.
Sure.
Say hi to Scott.
They won't know me.
Say hi to Barley and Hops.
Say Captain Reschitz is in the house taking a flight.
Say Drunken Lullaby sent you.
Are those the cats, Barley and Hops?
Barley and Hops are the cats. Berkey will probably... He'll probably be behind the bar. He's a very chatty fellow that does not need caffeine, but drinks Monster Energy, drinks like crazy, apparently. And after you hang out at White Oak, then go over to the still.
We'll do it.
So,
Jason?
It's a twofer.
You want to go?
It's a twofer.
I would like to go with you.
Put a pin in it.
That's what I suggest.
Can you go during the day?
On what day?
A weekend.
Like Sunday during the day. I can't drink on Sundays.
The Lord's Day?
Because I work. I can't drink on Saturday during the day because I got to go drive a vehicle at Saturday night.
No road sodas for Domino's.
No.
All right. Well, I think this takes us to the time of the show where we play the Ultimate Warriors theme song, and I loudly declare it's time for Picks of the Week!
When you drink every beer the sign of the cosmos on your podcast week after week, and you have to review them for the Warriors, you have to pick only one beer to rule them all. So load up the rockets with the jet fuel and get the party and the malt and the hops, and you will drink the beer to oblivion. It's time for Picks of the Week.
Check it for a boner.
Sorry. No, I don't have the Ultimate Warrior rope shaking boner.
I'll tell you what.
I am a little lightheaded, though.
That was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
He just kept going. You think he didn't stop? He did not stop. He kept going.
And I tried to get further and further away from the mic because I was laughing so hard.
It's just like an Ultimate Warrior promo.
That was great.
Yeah. Oh, just marvelous. Well
so,
done.
Picks of the week. We've got the Midnight Express. We've got the Dale's Pale Ale. We've got the Fire Ant Funeral, the Something Shady. Show enough. I want my IPA and the Distill Wild Sour Flanders Red. Bottle Cap Kid.
Distill.
You didn't get any bottle caps this week.
Distill.
It's a bummer.
Microphone only had a plain baby blue bottle cap.
Which, I want my baby blue, you know, baby, you can blue, have baby,
it.
Blue, baby blue.
It doesn't bottle have cap, anything baby, fancy on it, but
I love Distill. I feel like I choose it when I'm on your show. It's just, it's so flavorful. I love it. I they're not paying me anything. I wish they would, but no. This I'm gonna pick Distill.
Have you ever so asked flavorful. Them if they're interested in pilots that never went to series?
Yeah, make sure you ask them that next time they re up on you.
I'll do my best. Big E.
I want my IPA.
Wow.
All right. So that's what you're going with.
Yes.
From microphone. Blake.
You know, when we, since we had to redo this episode.
Redo.
For my Texas beers, I had a different one. What's going on here?
You'll find out.
Okay. I don't like dark beers.
That's racist.
Well, I've never been with a black woman, so I'm just talking about the beers.
Wow, we found one demographic he hasn't.
That's true. That's true. Jason's one-upped me. I'm going to go ahead and pick Distilled 2 because you've talked about it a lot to people who've never had sours on your show.
Yeah.
That it takes time. It took you 2 years. See, I listen. It took you 2 years to develop your sour palate.
It's true.
All right. I'm going to go with a Distilled Sour because, like I said, last night we were out at the pool. It was a long, hot day. It was, you know, about 6:30, so it was cooling off. We were in the pool. The sour was great. I'm going to pick Distilled.
All right.
Sorry.
No, you're totally fine. Like, I'm mad you're picking the sponsor.
Well, I don't want people to think that I'm playing favorites.
No, it's all right. I sold out 2 months into this show. So I've got my pick of the week is going to be the Oscar Bluesdale's Pale Ale. Like I said, just because it's readily available doesn't mean it's a bad beer. 6.5%. Like I said, this is a go-to. It gets the job done. Easy drinking. You can get a six-pack for about $10.
Yeah, I've had that before.
It's good stuff, man.
When we did our Christmas Avatar.
Okay.
Where you put the pick 24 beers.
Yeah. The Advent, not Avatar.
I've had a couple of those.
He had beer with blue people.
Yeah. There was this girl I dated that was blue.
Oh, here we go.
We plugged into this tree and got it on.
Hey, Blake. Do you happen to have our bit for Drunkomaniac Mail there?
No, because we did not do Drunkomaniac Mail.
Well, we didn't do Drunkomaniac Mail last time because we didn't have any Drunkomaniac Mail. But we have Drunkomaniac Mail now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say this is normally where we would play a small segment of Postcards from Paradise by Flesh for Lulu.
Postcards from Paradise.
Great Eddie Money song.
Yeah. So we have something I feel I need to share with everybody else. Our good friend Tyler.
Oh, love Tyler.
He recorded a video
what?
For us on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna play.
Do you want to play it through this?
Yeah, we can try that.
Yeah, we can try that.
Tyler is quickly becoming the number one FCF contributor.
Oh, my gosh. The guy is crazy.
Is this going to pop and crackle when you plug it in?
No, I got to turn down.
All right. Well, I've got it queued up here.
What kind of editor do you think, a post-production guy do you think I am?
Well, hit play and let's hear from our friend Tyler.
He recorded a video for you.
Hold on a second.
Uh-oh.
Big E, do you need a job?
That's funny that Big E
noticed. Yeah. So we need to restart.
If I were you, I would just fucking hire somebody else.
This is why I don't do my show live. We do edits, which I was contacted in another Drunkomaniac Mail. Somebody sent me, they slid into my DMs on Instagram, wanted to know if I needed a podcasting editor.
You should say yes.
Hey guys, it's Tyler. You know, I've noticed since I've got into craft beer and all that a lot of folks just think I'm pretentious and just too good for the regular good old beer, you know.
I feel you, Tyler.
Which is all of them, you know, out there. And that's just simply not the case. I love all the normal domestic beers. It's like water. I mean, they're great. Perfect example, just if you would just hold on 1 second.
What's he doing?
He's setting the camera up.
You'll see.
See, with a good craft beer, I would never do this because it's just, it's too good. But
there's a dog in the background.
Buy a case of this other stuff and just have some great target practice.
Oh, no. Oh my God.
So, thank you, Tyler, for sending us that video.
Did he shoot a fucking shitty Bud Light, I hope?
He did.
Is gay marriage legal down there? I want to gay marry him.
Hey, what? Read the comment I made right after.
Blake did make a comment about, I want to marry him.
Oh, my God. Tyler is incredible.
Yeah, he's a good listener.
Tyler, come up to Illinois.
Here's the thing, like... If I'm going to be in the South a little bit here and there. I got to record an episode with this guy.
Oh, geez, that would be great. That would be awesome.
We're going to be going to Georgia at some point. Georgia's right next to Mississippi.
Does anyone know Tyler at all? Does anyone know him?
Here's the thing. He's been a long time FCF Network listener.
Yeah.
He was an IBWIP listener.
Way back.
But the first time he reached out was on my show. So I thought he just... found Drunken Lullabies. Turns out, no, he has been listening to all the shows.
No, because he referenced the suicide episode by BWIP.
So since he reached out to this, and now he's talking to all the shows, and yeah, we love Tyler.
The dude cracks me up. He comes up with this bizarre shit, records it, sends it to us. I would really love to know, how did he find out about us? Right.
That's what I got going on.
That's what I got going on. I assume it's because of all the the southern kind of country rock that you had, were involved with way back. And that's how we got involved. But
the roots music.
Absolutely. I would love to hear Tyler's origin.
I would love to do an episode. We can Skype Kyle.
Yeah.
Skype Tyler in.
I would do it in a New York minute.
I'd be up for that for sure. And, so, yeah, that's Drunkomaniac Mail for the week. Thank you again, Tyler. If you would like to be included in Drunkomaniac Mail, all you need to do is post a video of you shooting some beer on Facebook and tag
me. That's exactly what he did.
I love how the dog is not phased at all. Yeah. Like, the dog's in the background. He goes, blah, blah.
And
the
dog's just like,
meh, whatever.
It's every day.
Dad's being crazy again.
You can send us an instant message. You can... send me an email at drunkenlullabiespodcast@yahoo.com. Any of those are viable options to be a part of the show. I love reading the feedback I get from the Drunkomaniacs, and if you want to be included, that's all you got to do. We already did our picks of the week for beer. I talked earlier about wanting to include music a little bit more. I've got a new segment. It's not really a segment. I don't have intro music, but it's my picks of the week. Music-wise.
Nice.
So I'm going to let you guys know what I've been listening to a lot this past week and some things to check out that just came out this week. What I've been playing a lot, Afghan Whigs' new album, In Spades.
Are they still around?
Phenomenal album. I've got tickets to see them at the Metro in Chicago with our friend Gangsta Nick Saylor.
Oh, really?
I'm going to be going up there. It's right at the end of September. It's going to be an awesome show.
Shout out to Nick Saylor.
And that album... phenomenal. I played it 3 times on Saturday in my car while I was driving around. It's like the perfect driving length. 45 minutes, 10 songs. You know, like I can listen to the whole album on my drive to work pretty much.
I remember the album Gentleman, I think is what it was,
okay.
Right?
Yeah, you're taking it back a little ways.
When's the last time they had an album come out?
A couple weeks ago.
Before that?
Yeah. A couple years ago.
It's been only a couple years.
Yeah,
okay.
They came back with a new album. So, yeah, they took a little time off, but this is their second album since Greg revitalized the Afghan Whigs.
Very cool.
All right, so that's out. Speaking of returns, At the Drive-In has a new album. Internalia, they have not had an album since Relationship in Command, which was like 2001. It was on... the Beastie Boys label, Grand Royal.
Grand Royale
or Jesus. Whatever, which isn't even a label anymore.
One-arm scissor, right?
Yes. Rest in peace, MCA. It's been gone 5 years.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
It is.
Jesus,
on the anniversary of his death, I played nothing but Beastie Boys in the kitchen at the Fox. I
fucking love the Beastie Boys.
Chris Stapleton, From a Room Volume 1 came out. I gave that to my mom for a Mother's Day gift, nice. And she was very, very excited about it.
I haven't heard it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
I've heard a few songs off of, you know, before it came out, and I was like, you know what? That's good enough for me. Sounds good. Volume 1, that means Volume 2 will be following. It wasn't a very lengthy album. It's more of an EP, I would say. So check that out. Ryan Adams released the Prisoner B-Sides. This was from a deluxe vinyl box set that he put out that cost like $100, and it came with like doll cardboard cutout things that you could set up a stage and had like little cutouts of the whole band. Really? And every song on Prisoner had its own 7-inch single. Every song had a B-side. And this was originally going to be the only way you could hear these songs was on these 7-inches. I don't like doing that. I don't like paying that much extra money to get... 7 inches are very inconvenient to play. I like putting a record on while I'm doing something around the house, and you can let it play for 5 songs and then flip it and let it play for another 5.
Not sit there in front of...
7-inch, you got to be at that turntable every 3.5 minutes, and that's very inconvenient, you know.
If you don't have a microphone.
Yeah, for sure. So... He released them digitally, and you can now listen to it on Spotify, or you can buy it on Amazon, iTunes, whatever. You can't get a CD copy or a vinyl copy yet. I'm hoping they will, but I actually think the B-sides for Prisoner, better than Prisoner.
There you go.
I think you put the wrong ones out. And also, brand new album from our friend, former guest, the first 2-time band artist of the week, Matthew Ryan. His brand new album, Hustle Up Starlings, is out. It's fantastic. He was releasing songs as like sneak previews on different websites leading up to its release, and I avoided them. I didn't want to just hear one song here, one song there. I wanted to wait. He had played one of the songs on our episode, Japanese Paper Candy, episode 14, I think.
That's a while back.
Yeah. That was the first show I ever did at the Social Kitchen. And he played a song called Battleborn. And he's like, this is a new one I'm working on. It'll be on my next album that'll hopefully be out in the fall. Well, took a little longer than that. Took about an extra half year.
Took a while, maybe?
Took a while. And it's out now. I listened to it for the first time laying in bed in the dark with my earbuds in. And just, I could focus strictly on the music. Like, I had no other distractions. And fantastic album. Matthew knocked it out of the park again. So I encourage everybody to listen to Hustle Up Starlings for sure. There's some new releases for this week coming out June 2nd, which, you know, new releases come out on Friday now. It's really weird. They used to come out on Tuesdays, and then they changed it. I don't know. I don't get it either, but whatever. So these came out a few days ago. All Time Low has a new album called Last Young Renegade. Bleachers, which is the side project from Jack from the band Fun. Another lowercase band with a period at the end.
Jack Anton?
That was Antonoff.
Antonoff.
He dated Lena Dunham from Girls.
Yeah.
Yep. He's got a new album called Gone Now. And then Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys has a new solo album called Waiting on a Song. I really dig one of the singles on there. It sounds like an ELO song.
Oh, wow.
So anything that sounds like Jeff Lynne had his mitts on it, I'm on board with. So those are my music picks of the week. And now I'd like to thank you, gentlemen, for redoing this episode with me.
We'd be happy to redo anything with your redo.
I love redoing stuff with you.
Let's redo it again next week.
No, let's not. Let's put a pin in it. Let's mark stamp it. It's done. You know, we can, the next time I do an episode,
I could be dead before this comes out.
It could be episode 80.
Okay.
I don't need to do 79 for a third time. I'll move on to episode 80. And, somebody's battery's dying. Hopefully it's not the recorder. It is. All right. Fantastic. Well, let's wrap this up. I'd like to thank you guys for joining me again. Bottle Cap Kid. Blake, listen to IBWIP, Broken Funny Bone, listen to Couch Pilots,
thank
Big
you, sir.
E.
I'm on both.
Order some
I'm
pizza
on those.
From Domino's.
Find me at the Domino's.
There you go. And until next week, this is the voice saying, may your music be loud and your beers be cold. We'll see you in a week.
Goodbye. Later. I'm going to push the button now.
Hour 35 is fine.
Ow!
This has been a Fakakta Comedy Funhouse production. Produced by Dustin Wyckoff. Executive produced by Blake Clayton. For more information and content, go to fcfnetwork.com.